Barry, when you started researching the shroud and you were the official photographer there, what did you think of it?
Well, you know, George, I guess I better start by saying that I'm Jewish, and so I didn't really think much. And when they first asked me about it, I just sort of, didn't really take much interest.
Kind of shrugged your shoulders, huh?
Yeah, I did. I'd worked on a project as a consultant for Los Alamos National Labs, and when we finished that, the guy I'd been working with, Don Devan, called me a few months later, and he said, "Gee, Barry, what do you know about the shroud?" And I said, "But I'm Jewish." And he kind of laughed because he, too, was Jewish. So he pointed out that some guys had kind of extracted some new information from the shroud's image and were looking to put together a team to go and examine it. And I wasn't very interested. But then they kind of explained some of the image properties they had discovered. So it kind of hooked my interest a little bit. But it still took me some time before I kind of became comfortable just being on the team. And I certainly expected to get to Turin and take a close look and see the paint and the brush strokes and go home.
Didn't Simple as that. No, not at all.
Not at all.
Why still, here we are, with this one of the greatest mysteries of all time, why can't we seem to get this thing proven one way or another?
Well, you know, I think that if you were to look at the evidence the same way, say, a lawyer would in a trial and present all of the peer-reviewed science, forget all the speculative stuff and the, you know, sort of the wild ideas that people have, just go to the real data and present the real evidence, I think it would be very easy for a jury to find beyond a reasonable doubt that the shroud's authentic. But, you know, the shroud evokes a certain emotional response in people. It touches people in kind of different ways. Some people fear it, I think, because they fear it might alter their way of thinking or their way of seeing things. So I think that there's this general kind of concern that, oh, it's got to be a fake because if it's real, that challenges my belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people are fearful of that, and they would just as soon leave it alone. And I've met a lot of people that doesn't matter what facts you present to them, what evidence, they've already made up their mind, and they're not going to change their mind just because you show them some evidence.
True.
So,
well,
the nature of the beast, I guess.
If it's not real, it doesn't negate the fact that Jesus was here and did what he did.
Absolutely correct. Not at all. So no one's faith should rely on the shroud. I don't think that I've never met a Christian who said, well, I wouldn't have had faith if it weren't for the Shroud of Turin. But I think what it does do is it goes a long way to support people's faith. Now, you know, a lot of people are very secure in their beliefs, and they really don't need any evidence. I mean, the whole concept of faith is to accept and believe without having specific evidence. But I always remind people there was a man named Thomas, and he wasn't satisfied until he put his hand in the wound. So perhaps the shroud is there for all the Thomases, the people who are less secure in their beliefs and less secure in their faith. And maybe it just provides them with that little extra something that, I mean, it's like a document of the tortures that were inflicted upon that man.
Well, that brings up the interesting question. Why was it left behind? Is it a message? It's got to be, if it's real.
Well, you know, look, I've stated publicly for years now that I've come to accept it as real and authentic. The message, on the other hand, I think is a little harder to kind of place. And I've said this many times, maybe even on this show before, but the shroud didn't come with a book of instructions. There were no instructions on that sheet. And so the real true answer, the meaning of it, which is what we're talking about, really becomes something that's in the eye and the heart of the beholder. And each person has to regard it himself and, you know, read about it, study it, look at it, and then decide what it means for themselves. And I don't think that any one person should stand up and say, well, you should accept this about the shroud or it should mean this to you. I think, look, I'm Jewish. I was not, you know, involved with this from any religious point of view. But once I became convinced it was authentic and spoke out publicly about it, people started asking me different questions. And the question they asked most was, well, what do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have an honest answer. I had sort of stepped away from my own religion years before. So for the first time as an adult, I had to confront my own beliefs, my own faith. And I was raised in an Orthodox Jewish home. God was part of everything every day. And so when I looked, I found that, you know, that had stuck. It was in there. And I had only to look within myself to find it. So I guess it's kind of ironic for a Jew to say that the Shroud of Turin brought him back to his own faith, but that's really what happened.
If it's authentic, what does that tell you? What does it mean?
Well, I know where you're going, George.
Yeah, I'm wheeling you in, Barry. Wheeling
you're trying
you in,
anyway.
And then I'm going to get Corsi too.
Yeah, but you know, I've been reeled in before. Look, from a spiritual point of view, it's moved me closer to my own faith. I think that it has that effect on a lot of people. Certainly for Christians, it's sort of a reinforcement of the story of the Gospels, of the Passion of Jesus. I think that it's an important story, and I think it's important. What does it mean? Why is it here? Look, you know, if there truly is a God, as I believe and as so many do, perhaps God is looking at this planet. Remember that science became interested in this first in 1898, but in depth not until the 1970s.
Right.
Well, you know, the world isn't the best place, and it doesn't seem to be going up but going downhill. So perhaps in God's infinite wisdom, he feels that this is a time where maybe we need something a little more. Maybe we need something to help strengthen our faith or strengthen our beliefs. And I think it's, the Shroud does serve that way for many people, not for everyone. But in the end, I still believe that each person has to regard it from his own point of view and decide what it means for himself. I mean, it means something different to Jerry than it does to me, than it does to you, George. And
sure.
Each of us may have our beliefs about it, and it may affect us in a certain way, and everybody's a little different. So I don't know that there's a single answer to your question. I think that, you know, maybe there's 6 billion answers to your question.